And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. This past week has been an eventless one. I gave my bold State of the Union address on Tuesday or Wednesday, outlining my plans for health care, surging our troops, and other key promises. Unfortunately, my presidential term expires in less than 2 years, which is nearly enough time to implement my plannings. Therefore, I would like to announce at this time that I intend to hat my ring into the 2008 elections. I pledge I'm not going to give up the White House without a fight. I have strong opponents in Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and it's a vital interest to our nation's security that I retain the office. Now, some may say I'm not allowed another 4 years. I've listened to these criticizers and weighed my options, and I say to them, if they have a better plan, let them come forward with it. The president is the decide maker, and I have decided made that I should run again and retain my seat until our country is safe and secure, no matter what the opposers are going to say. Thank you for your continued support. I'll be looking for your vote in 08. God bless you.
A public service of The Onion, brought to you by weeklyradioaddress.com.
Microphone processing has been altered a little bit today, so you may have to sweeten my microphone beyond what it was yesterday. That's too much. That's too loud. You may have to, as George Bush would say, you may have to dropitalize the. You may have to lower the bed so that you can. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you don't.
Hello. It's 2 minutes and 51 seconds after the hour of 11, and this. That's too loud again.
Turn down your headphones.
Okay.
Oh, is that too loud?
Yeah, you are also too loud.
Has all the processing been messed with?
Well, it's the output level.
Because these are the levels they were at yesterday.
But that was yesterday. This is today. The outputalization needs to be augmentalized a little bit today. So probably everybody needs to be a little bit lower on the board, microphone-wise, than they were yesterday. And then, but that means everything has to go down a little bit, too. Like
okay.
The music beds and so forth.
Because you're at -7.
I'm just saying.
You don't. Okay.
Get off my back.
If I put you any lower, you wouldn't be showing up on the board.
Swear to God, I will come over there and beat you like a redheaded stepchild.
Okay.
Hello, it's
Don't
the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Live from the... Now I sound echoey.
Oh, my God.
All right. Live from the plushly appointed yet not really ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. This, my friends... Can you just turn off the music for a second? Do I sound like I'm talking to you from inside a steel filing cabinet?
You don't sound good.
I don't know why I sound this way. I'm sitting half an inch in front of the microphone.
Okay, so stop bitching at me. I'm not doing that to you.
Well, but then I was overdriven from it. Maybe you should try raising my mic just a little bit.
You told me to turn it down.
Okay, there's no need to yell. You know, why don't you try some constructive criticism? Why do I need to be so negative all the time? All right, let's try that. Now, that means I'll have to back off the mic a little bit so that I don't over... If we keep this up, I bet we can kill Jeff McGinley. I don't even think he'll have to get up from the desk. I think if we keep this up, I bet he'll just keel over right there and his... Whatever those people, you protractors, the slide rule, whatever it is he's got in his hand right now, he'll just clutch it, and then he'll feel like a small popping sound inside of his head, and then he'll fall over dead, just like the face on the barroom floor, except he's an engineer and he's back in his office. That sounds better. All right, there you go. Thank you, sir.
That was the level I started out
at. Why don't you just shut up about the level I started at? Do we want to start today's program over?
Yes.
Let's start the program. I just saw Jeff walking by shaking his head. Let's start the program over. Hold on. Now let me cue up the weekly radio address again. We'll just start everything from the top again.
All right. Let's give a legal. Hang on.
All right.
Oregon.
Only Pat who keeps a plugin.
Solid State Radio.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. This past week has been an eventless one. I gave my bold State of the Union address on Tuesday or Wednesday, outlining my plans for health care, surging our troops, and other key promises. Unfortunately, my presidential term expires in less than 2 years, which isn't nearly enough time to implement my plannings. Therefore, I would like to announce at this time that I intend to hat my ring into the 2008 elections. I pledge I'm not going to give up the White House without a fight. I have strong opponents in Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and it's a vital interest to our nation's security that I retain the office. Now, some may say I'm not allowed another 4 years. I've listened to these criticizers and weighed my options, and I say to them, if they have a better plan, let them come forward with it. The president is the decide maker, and I have decided made that I should run again and retain my seat until our country is safe and secure, no matter what the opposers are going to say. Thank you for your continued support. I'll be looking for your vote in 08. God bless you.
A public service of The Onion, brought to you by weeklyradioaddress.com.
Sounds good. Rick Emerson is cautiously optimistic about this version of the program. It's 7 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of January?
Yes.
Wait, yes? January?
Yes.
Thank you. January, the year of our Lord 2007, we are live in the plushly appointed and occasionally functional studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. See, now that's what I'm talking about right there. Listen to that. That's a man's microphone processing right there. That's the microphone processing of a seasoned and trained broadcaster, is what that is. Let's all bask for a minute in the glory of my new mic processing. Kneel before Zod, son of Jor-El. All right, anywho, hello, this is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. We do that 15 or 20 more times, we're done for the day. We can all go home. 503-733-2970, you want to email, you know, for whatever reason. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. The best thing about talking in that big hollowy voice that I had before is that the people are now just sending me phrases they want me to say using that. Let's see, I've got one here. People are now sending me science fiction quotes that they want me to say in the hollow microsound in the hollow microdecider criticizer voice.
I've got a little challenge for you, Sark. A new recruit.
This is like the sound before Kirk does the Kobayashi Maru. No one knows what I'm talking about. It's 503-733-2970. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email today with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you, it's Rick at RickEmerson.com. It is Wednesday, and welcome to day 12, day 3 of our brand new studios, and so forth. All right, we got I have to turn off this weekly radio address, because I'm going to be distracted by that for the rest of the day, because that's fantastic. Barack Obama. which sets off a whole chain of thoughts in my head that it would be imprudent to discuss at this time. So we'll bring those up at a later point. We've got an exciting surprise for everybody. We'll get to that here in just a second. Here's what's coming up in today's program. Now, if you've been listening for the last few days, we've decided for the time being, we've done what we call putting a pin in Aaron Geek in the City of Duran. I can't get over how great my mic processing sounds. Let's all hear it for this mic processing.
If we want to have any listeners by the end of the week, you need to stop talking about your mic processing.
I have to, because
you just ramble for hours about it.
I've actually moved beyond just falling in love with the sound of my own voice. I've actually fallen in love with the sound of the equipment that modifies the sound of my own voice. And now I am falling in love with the sound of my own voice describing the microphone processing equipment that modifies the sound of my own voice, which I'm in love with. In the house that Jack built. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. Aaron, I believe, was getting into a little bit of trouble with the man at work, so I'm just going to be teasing these things out loud, and then presumably mailman Chris is going to be out there lurking around delivering food through sleet and gloom and snow and dead of night and oobleck and whatever, and then he'll call into the end of the program and let us know how we're doing. I believe, although it does sound like from the state of things, at any given time, the odds are about 1 in 3 that he's at home having to... having to keep his kid under lock and key. Never mind. We won't get off snooze tonight. We'll talk about that with him later on. Here's what we got coming up today. Here's what we've got coming up today. Ow, there are hat pins in my face. Also, we've got this. Ow, my head is full of lice. Hack-like author says, ow, I'm dead. And Rick Emerson asks you to make his television viewing decisions for him. Also coming up today, we got CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Now, here's an exciting thing. Now, this doesn't really affect anybody out there, except in as much as I believe one of the technical snafus that's been sort of plaguing us for the last couple of days is going to be gone today. The last few days, Scotty J has been... I'm sorry, Scotty's typing notes to me on the screen as we speak. The last few days, Scotty J has been running the phones from over at our old studios at the Coin Tower, which means that when we get like Lisa Goddard on today, we get the Jim Roop, there's been a little bit of lag time, there's been some difficulty with the calling in. I believe today Lisa will be able to call directly into the studio, and so her golden voice will sound even more mellifluous than it normally does, which is a lot. He is noting that, okay, so Scotty is noting that we will have no mailman Chris today because apparently he's otherwise occupied, but he is noting that Rick Mailman Chris cannot stenography at all today. He cannot stenographize. All right, well, we'll just do a recap ourselves. Kid problems? Really? You don't say. Behold my shock. All right. Well, whatever. Look, here's the thing, and I can only say this because Chris has come on the air and he's spoken about his problem youth at home before. That kid is either that kid or Chris is he's going to be on one of those infomercials that you see at like 2:30 at night, where there's some kid who's just sitting there humming in a corner to himself somewhere because they've got him doped full of some brand new wonder drug, and Chris is going to be, my kid used to be a little bastard setting fire to things and shooting kittens in the face, and then they'll talk about some drug that they jacked him full of, and now he doesn't do that anymore. Yeah, well, all right, I'm just saying. What else do we have today? Well, that's pretty much it. We'll get to the top five today. We will endeavor to do that. The top five musical acts in the opinion of one Scotty J, who will also join us for the suburban perspective. We tried to do that yesterday, and then it took this weird deviation and this whole thing about Scotty sitting on some shrink's couch. And Scotty was like the last guy I ever would have thought of who'd gone to therapy. Not that he doesn't need it in many hundreds of ways, but I never would have anticipated that. So that kind of... yes, I know. You fell deep into the exciting world of Rick yesterday. I'm just saying, no, Scotty, don't. I'm not trying to poke fun. It's just not a thing I ever would have predicted. But I would figure when you get to the point where you've got a flat-screen television in your shower, what do you really have to talk to a shrink about? I mean, come on, seriously. You've got a house the size of Skywalker Ranch in the suburbs. What could you possibly be talking to a therapist about? Even if you're not getting along with your wife, that house is probably so big you never even see her. I mean, that house is like Gorman gas. You can just stick her in one end of it, and you probably go 5, 6, 7, 9 years, never have to have a conversation with her. That's ideal. My wife and I, let me just say this about that. Laura and I used to live in this townhouse, which was in a horrific neighborhood. I called it a gated community, but it wasn't really a gated. It was a gated community to keep people inside. Some gated communities are meant to keep, like the one that Tim probably lived in.
That house was really scary.
The one that I lived in before?
Oh, yeah, I went there.
Oh, yeah, the one directly across from the wife-swapping club. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And the gate was there, but only because the apartment building was full of felons and people on work release and people who were dealing crystal meth out of the back of their trucks. And so the gate was just there, I think, installed by the Portland police just so at any given moment they could just throw a net over the entire place, since probably everybody there was violating some term of parole. What was I talking about? Anyway, so blah, 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 blah. But it was a townhouse, and there was an upstairs and a downstairs. And I got to tell you this right now. Here's two inventions that will save your life and save your marriage. One is a staircase. If there's just an upstairs or a downstairs, really just so you can at least have the illusion of privacy, that can't be overstated. Secondly, let's talk about an additional bathroom. We've talked about that before, but the more bathrooms, I don't care if you have to drive a cab. I don't care if you have to get a second job. I don't care if you have to mortgage things. I don't care if you have to sell your own eggs? Doesn't matter. Whatever you can do to get an additional bathroom installed in your house, I believe there is some direct correlation between the number of bathrooms in your house and how long your relationship is going to last before it just descends into screaming madness. That's just a theory. I don't really have any hard evidence there. I'm simply speaking anecdotally here. I believe Tim Riley would agree, wouldn't you, Tim?
Well, yeah, I would agree, yes.
That was meant to be a big glorious introduction, but I forgot that you can't really pay that off today.
No.
All right.
I'll take that up some other day.
We'll tease some news here in a second. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. You're looking nice today.
Thank you.
And I'm not just saying that. So we can gloss over yesterday's unpleasantness. You really do.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I had some concerned phone calls and text messages from people asking why you were being so mean to me.
Why? Okay. Sorry, I'm going to ratchet that back. It's not that I was being mean to you. I believe that there was perhaps a little snarkiness on both sides of the control board yesterday. I do believe that...
I just missed him a lot.
I do believe that that's what it really is.
Oh, thank you.
You know what it is? It's just anger is depression turned outward, and we were just... No disrespect to Scotty J, but we were just depressed over the absence of Tim Riley yesterday. And Sarah and I were just taking it out on each other because we were bereft over the loss of Tim. So, that's all I'm saying.
Well, here I am.
And he is here, infecting us all, coming full circle.
And you've got your hot AC smooth voice on again, like you're doing the 10 o'clock. Like there's fat girls named Debbie calling up to have you play Michael Bolton songs.
You bet I will.
Okay. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, it looks like a man has been stabbed inside the Hillsborough Library, then two others stabbed outside a Circuit City store. And Quebecers warn incoming Muslims there'll be no stoning or burning women at the stake. Otherwise, you're welcome to move to Canada. Two drunk truck drivers hit each other in Oregon. And the British put an end to devious plans by their crazy Muslims to behead someone in that country.
Well, okay. Hey, speaking of Muslims, I was going to say this yesterday. I'm just going to make this observation. This has nothing to do with nothing, as they say, but it is an interesting slice of Portland life that I believe, now I cannot prove this, but I do believe that my new shrink is indeed a Muslim. I can't prove that that's the case. And it doesn't really matter to me. It's all I can. I'm no Scotty J. It wouldn't matter to you. Rick Emerson is welcoming to all peoples. I'm just saying, because he dropped more than once. I'll be pouring out some problem that I'm having, and then he will say, "Well, you know, Rick, the Muslims have a saying that," and then he'll give me some pearl of wisdom from the mouth of Elijah Muhammad, which is interesting.
Is his name Elijah Muhammad?
No, his name isn't Elijah. No. Yes. Yes, I'm being treated by Elijah Muhammad. Yeah, Joseph Smith is going to treat me next. My shrink, Brigham Young. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Oh, yeah, Scotty's noting you have a smooth jazz voice going on today. You sound like one of those guys that will be on the smooth jazz. One of those clearly voice-tracked guys, though, where they get the guy with the crisp, rich timbre to his voice. And he sits there and he plays nothing but Candy Dulfer songs all morning long. All right, that is all coming up. We have Lisa Goddard who will be joining us. We have Jim Roop, who's going to be talking about just a whole bunch of crap. And I've got some news stories that have been piling up over the last few days as well. So this is going to be one of those days we try to get to many things that have been piling up over the last, I don't know, week. Even though I got a late start on the day, and here's why. Just in case I sound like I'm a little...
Are these the quirky anecdotes from your life?
This is not the quirk. Okay, why are you going to be so cynical about it? I was just trying to give an explanation.
No, let's do it.
I'm not even at that part in the Matrix. There's a part in the Matrix here. What has happened since Rick Emerson was last on the air? I was going to get to that. I can move it up if you'd like. I was going to say this. What happened is that I'm not going to say had to. I was, but I did go, but I went bowling last night. Because, you know, we get this large, signed us up for this bowling thing.
Were you nicer to her this time?
I was nicer. Wait, how do you know I wasn't nice last time?
Because you told me. Oh, I thought maybe that was on the air. Sorry.
Last time we went bowling, there was some unpleasantness.
I'm impressed that you didn't actually lash out last night because from the mood that you were in.
You know, I was in a fine mood. I went home.
And decompressed a little?
No, not really. I just learned to shove all my anger down into a deep black ball inside. I've just learned to take all my anger and compress it into a small, like a... Just just like a small round ball of black matter that lives inside my stomach. That's where it is. Just all goes. I've just learned to shove it and stow it and stamp on it and press it down until it's heavier than the sun and darker than hell. So we went. Now we have this bowling thing we do every Tuesday, and of course it's couples bowling, and you know that I just instinctively recoil by it from all of those things because it's just. And this is not a reflection of my wife. It's just a reflection on, I think, me and the thing that it's so unbearably cute. You know what I mean? What are you doing? Well, because it's one that, like, it's not that I've never bowled. I've bowled in my, Rick Emerson has bowled. I've spent, it's not like I got my own ball or something, but I've bowled. But it's the idea that I'm actually enrolled in not just a bowling league, but a couples bowling league. And
exactly does the couples bowling league work?
It's exactly the same way as every other bowling league works, except everybody is just couples. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like a team of eight.
So there's really no reason to have it be couples.
There's really no reason. It's just like a label they put on it. Anyway, and then everybody's blind drunk by the end of the night, and, you know, and like cackling madly, except for Rick Emerson. Anyway, so we went, we did that. And last week went badly. Last week it was one of those where I was just sitting at home and just deceiving about any number of things already. So it's like, okay, and let me just say this. You know what I'm talking about here when I say that there are sometimes, and Tim feels the same way, when you just want to go home and you would like, now I know that this does sound crazy. This does make me sound like a lunatic. But I would bet, Sarah Dillon, that there are a lot of days. So you live not really by yourself. I mean, you don't live with somebody that you don't live with somebody that you have to see, or that you live with roommates that you can just sort of be antisocial for long periods of time, and all they do is like, well, Sarah's in a room, that's it, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they don't have any personal investment in your mental health. But I will guarantee you this: that there are times that either because of whatever, the personal life, or just in that mood, where you would like nothing better than to crawl off into a dark room somewhere and just bolt the door and not come out for like 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Come over, I just don't want to see anybody.
Not for four. I usually get over it within 24 hours, but sometimes I'll just come home and shut my, like, walk my foot, shut the door, and then just like stay in my room.
No, really, there are times.
And it's okay.
There are times when I just want to go find a room in a Motel 6 somewhere where nobody knows where I am and just go in and like yank out the television and the phone and just stay there for like 72 hours. You know what I mean? Nicolas Cage style.
I don't think we have that in common,
just because I need, you know, times where I feel a little frazzled and need to reset. But it's always on those nights that the bowling league happens. That's it. So I'll go home and maybe I'll take a nap, or I'm sitting in the office or doing whatever, and I'm just sort of zoning out, and the house is, you know, the peaceful. I've got the television turned off. I've got the lights sort of lowered. I mean, it's not all fruity about it, but I'm sitting there just trying to calm down, just trying to de-stress. And then right as I'm sort of like getting ready to exhale, like Laura, God love her, who's just way more energetic and social than I am, as everybody knows, just bounds into the, it's time to go bowling, you know? And then suddenly, I'm in a bowling alley filled with 150 drunken nitwits who are like screaming at me and wanting me to high five, and they're wearing their own hot pink bowling shoes, and it's all very stressful. Anyway, so I did that last night, and then, so that's...
I'm still kind of stuck on this couples bowling thing. That just seems kind of exclusive for no reason.
I'm sorry. That sounds like a little, projecting. That sounds like a why is everything for couples? Why is nothing for single people?
I'm not allowed to join your bowling league.
No, you're not.
Okay.
No, we don't. Your type of
you
people
don't like
aren't
my
welcome.
People.
Your kind of people aren't welcome in our club.
Okay.
It's not an open club at this time. Aaron and Jen were there, though, so that was nice. So that made it a little more palatable. Because, and here's the other thing about bowling. Bowling, you know what there isn't anymore? There's no place where you can just go and be a loser. And what I mean by that is this. You know that I'm kind of a social misfit, and that's not me. That's a lot of people. I don't really know. I'm not fishing for compliments, but I'm not like a hipster type. I mean, I don't know how to dress all snazzy and cool, and I'm not at the cool kids table. I never really have been. But there used to be things you could do or places you could go where it's like you didn't feel the need to be socially hip. You know what I mean? You didn't feel the need to be dressed up.
And has the bowling alley been taken from you?
The bowling alley. Aaron was talking about this. Aaron was there last night, and you know, Aaron, God love him, Aaron is cut from the same cloth. Aaron shows up last night in a shirt made out of Star Trek pillowcase. I swear to God, it's like a set of Star Trek pillowcases from the Trouble with Tribbles episode that the lovely Jen made into a shirt for him. So Aaron and I are there, and you know, but we look around this, and everybody, we are flanked on all sides by people who are either from the cast of Grease or or hairspray. You know, it's just a whole lot of people with tattoos and, like, girls with, like, jet black hair and bright red lipstick and cat-eye glasses.
How snobby you are.
It's not that I'm...
You're in a couples bowling league, and now you're making fun of other people who just want to have other things to do besides
first of all, the fact that I'm in a couples bowling league was not my decision. I'm just making note of the fact that the bowling alley has been taken over by hipsters. And so it's just one more place where I go, and I just feel like I have... Next, it'll be the comic book store. You know what I mean? Next, I'll go to play, you know, you go to some Magic the Gathering table somewhere, and there's going to be a bunch of Abercrombie bastards on either side of you. That's the only point I'm making. But I bowled last night, and I would like you to know that I had the high score for the night. So I took home the trophy. The trophy went home with Rick Emerson, because he bowled the high score last night.
Now I can sleep at night.
There you go. 503-733-2970. 503, that's not even my part on the matrix of the quirky anecdote, what happened to me in the last 21 hours. I'll get to that later. 503-733-2970. Lisa Goddard joins us later on in the hour. Jim Roop, Scotty J, the triumphant return of Tim Riley. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program on AM 970, Solid State Radio. I mentioned a story I've got about a guy with hat pins in his junk. All right. Right there.
I thought you said hat pins in the face.
Oh, that too. Well, you start with the face. You know what sounds fantastic is my paper rustling. Let's all listen to how the processing makes this paper rustling sound fantastic. Genius. Sarnoff would be proud. It's 503-733-2970. 503. This is what Nikola Tesla was thinking of. Someday Rick Emerson will use this technology to rustle paper and annoy thousands. 503, and then he crazily set up 13 place settings for no reason. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson radio program. If you'd like to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Is this Lisa Goddard? Why?
It is.
Fantastic. All right, so here we go. Now, am I going to pick this up myself? Okay. I haven't even done my ramp. I haven't even done my build. Which I'm fine.
You can do it over it.
I'm all thrown off now. We have to start again. It's very precise. I have to reach over and I have to press this exactly as the music is starting. And that begins when I say, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson program, live from the hill. Come on, see how much better that sounds? Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent. Hello, Lisa, how are you? Oh, behold the sound of silence.
Lisa?
Is it silent where you are?
Hey. Behind.
Oh, and there she is. Hey, fantastic. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi. You guys have me on speakerphone?
We weren't able to hear you for a second. It was about 3 or 4 seconds where our lives flashed before our eyes. So, hey, and this, there's no lag, there's no delay, there's no echo, there's no muss, no fuss, no runs, no drips, no errors. You sound fantastic today.
And, you know, fantastic. It looks like it's going the other way now, though. I can barely hear you guys, but we can work through it.
All right. Jeff, is there any, should we just muscle through this? I could get my megaphone.
We're tough. You know what? Any reason for that, I'm happy to be a part of.
Fantastic. Well, let me just say this right now. We're working on feeding my voice to you, but I'm going to say this. You actually now sound so good, because we've got a brand new phone system in here. You sound so good, I almost want to go back and redo the last, like, 2 days worth of conversations with you. And just sort of recreate, like, an artist rendering so that they can be broadcast using this exciting new technology. Before we begin, and before we do anything else here, have you seen this business of Joe Biden referring to Barack Obama as, and I don't want to misquote this, so I will not, I will just paraphrase it. I don't want to attempt to quote it because it was weird enough. It was weird sounding already, and if I misquote it, it might end up sounding even weirder, unless you have the quote in front of you.
I can find it. I can find it quickly. But yeah, let me, I've got Obama's response in front of me. Let me see. I've gotten so many emails today. But yeah, I did see that earlier.
In fact, I'm bringing up the webpage right here. All right, here we go. This is what Joe Biden said. He referred to he refers to Barack. Don't they have people that these statements have to go through? Don't they have filters on their heads? When he says, referring to Barack Obama, he says, quote, I mean, you've got the first mainstream African-American, wait for it, who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy, end quote.
Because right, and then what he said after that, he said something like, you know, that's just a storybook. Right, trying to say, you know, that that's sort of your perfect political storm. But I think putting in the word first was among his mistakes in that line.
Really, I mean, and I understand what he's maybe trying to say, that he's saying that this is, as you said, Barack Obama has.
He's got the resume. I mean, on paper and in on camera, he looks great, sounds great. He's got a lot going for him.
He's a powerful speaker. He is a good orator. He is a physically attractive man, which in politics, regardless of one's ethnicity, is an important trait, whether we like to admit that or not. And of course, there is the sort of appeal, the fact that he is sort of he would be breaking some boundaries. Hurdles in American politics. But I would just think that any white person who is on camera in America in 2007 knows that your first word of compliment when you were describing a black person should not be to say, and he's so articulate. That's just a thing you don't, that's just a thing you ought to know not to say.
And clean.
And clean. Why would you, clean, I don't
true.
Even.
I mean, I can verify from my experience, yes.
I mean, and I'm presuming he is clean. I mean, but I mean, really, because that sort of implies that, I don't know, implies that maybe that's some kind of a rarity. So, I mean, I hate to be the guy sort of blowing this out of proportion, but it does seem like it's just one of those colossal foot-in-mouth disease statements that we're going to be hearing relentlessly for, like, the next 7 days.
Yeah, this is a clear misstep, and I think you're right. I think he didn't mean it. I don't think he meant to say that, you know, African-Americans don't have any other articulate candidates or have never had any articulate candidates, but it really does. You can read into that. By saying that he's the first mainstream African American, I mean, it's possible he's saying this is the first time an African American has really gotten so much attention in the race for president. Really, of course, Jesse Jackson ran a strong campaign back in the 80s, but it's hard to say if he was really quite as viable of a candidate as Barack Obama. But all that aside, one of my friends who's a CNN producer went up to Barack Obama just an hour and a half ago, actually, and read him Biden's comments. He said he hadn't heard that yet. Huh. They've got a lot going on over here today. And Barack Obama just replied saying, I don't worry too much about what other people are saying during the campaign season. And he said, I'm not going to parse his words that carefully. So he's kind of trying to play this low, maybe taking the high road here, or maybe just, you know, saying that's not, I don't want to get into it.
All right. And by the way, as we sort of proceed with the call here, if the quality of my voice as it's delivered to you over the phone changes or becomes worse or better, just let us know, because we're kind of tweaking that on the...
Okay. All right. Great. I wish I had a little dial.
It's okay. It's like a focus group dial to let me know.
Yeah. Okay, done.
Anyway, so here's in the category of news that I will entitle Things That Surprise Me Not At All. And this is directly off the pager. Bush administration officials have tried to, wait for it, alter or suppress news on the impact of global warming, trying to cut references to climate change and watering down descriptions of researchers' findings, scientists told a congressional committee Tuesday. I mean, do you suppose at any point the people in the Bush administration are embarrassed by the fact that they so... Is it that they don't believe science, or is it that they just realize that science is counter to what they're trying to get done, and so therefore they just have to kind of disregard it? I mean, do they honestly, really, and truly not believe this stuff, or do they just realize that it gets in their way politically?
You know, I think when this president came into office, I think he had such concern. He always has had such concern about the economy and business ahead of a lot of other things. But thinking that if the economy is going well, then everything else can fall in place after that. And I think what the White House would say in response to that is they would say, until we have absolute proof that we need to take drastic steps that could cripple, could really affect our economy, in their view, we don't think we should do that. We don't think we should put, these, what they might see as shackles on factories and industry, unless we know for sure that global warming is a fact. Now, the problem is, at one point along the line, it seemed that science really, really went in that direction, that a growing body of scientists, not just because they wanted to believe it, but seemingly because of the data, and this is what they were saying in the hearing yesterday, that there are a few counter reports that have scientific legitimacy, but there's not a lot of them that say that the Earth is not getting warmer. So at some point, scientists really seem to be moving in one direction, and we've gone beyond that now, where most climate scientists are saying, yes, global warming exists, and even the president is now acknowledging that there is global warming. But what's interesting, now the White House and this administration are questioning, is this global warming caused by something cyclical in the weather, or is it caused by man? And I think a lot of scientists say man certainly has a significant role in the least to play for it. But so then in these hearings yesterday, what we heard about were six years of scientists feeling like they have been repressed, many of them saying that they personally have been told not to use the words global warming or climate change in their reports. I think there's a group called the Union of Concerned Scientists did a survey, and first of all, they had a hard time figuring out who all the federal climate scientists are, but they put together a list, they say the best that they could, surveyed them, and they say almost half of those scientists personally said they were told or pressured not to use those phrases, global warming and climate change. These are people who are paid by the taxpayers to present science. So, and now, of course, in the Democratic House, this is getting a lot more attention, but we still haven't heard, I haven't seen or heard, a direct response from the White House to this hearing yesterday.
I was going to say, I was talking to Bob Costantino the other day about it.
Hey, yeah.
He was talking about health care, and I was making this observation, which, by the way, I stand by. I do, and I do have a point here. I believe that there ought to be, I believe that somehow it ought to be determined what kind of health care system the average American has. You figure out the absolute middle of the financial and medical bell curve in this country. You figure out exactly what kind of health care, what number of health care resources, what amount of health care coverage the average American citizen has. And then the president and all other executive office officials ought to have exactly that kind of health care and no more. They ought to have nothing more, nothing beyond that. The system of health care that the president has ought to be directly tied to what the middle class in the country has. And now I'm just going to expand that to say that I think George Bush ought to have to live on an ice floe somewhere. He ought to, seriously, I mean, because there's nothing else. He really ought to just have to live in an igloo somewhere that's floating off, you know, outside of Greenland. There's just no other way to get into. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't really care about global warming because I don't really care about anything that doesn't
affect your lifetime.
Me. It doesn't affect me personally. I have no children, not going to have children. Don't really give a rodent's rump. It just frustrates me because it illustrates this larger point of being skeptical that anything that happens in, quote, a laboratory, that scientists want him to, with all of their facts and their tests and their studies and
right.
whatnot. So, anyway, real quickly here, is it true that in one day both Madeleine Albright and Henry Kissinger were testifying for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee?
Yes, that is true. Both of them were there, and I think I've got to give the plug, I guess, if you like Madeleine Albright. I think she's on the Situation Room tonight on CNN.
Well, who doesn't like Madeleine Albright?
Exactly.
They really do look more and more like each other, though, with every passing year. That had that observation. That, and Henry Kissinger seems like... Henry Kissinger seems like a record, like you have a record player and it comes unplugged and then it slowly slows down. And then, but it's like with him, it's sort of happening over 40 or 50 years. You know what I mean? Like Henry Kissinger, it seems like he's not really going to die so much as he's just going to make a pause mid-sentence at some point. And then he's just never going to finish it. And then, you know, and then they'll just have to put him on a gurney and wheel him away. So
yeah, he's not the only one around here like that, but he's got the best. He's got that act down the best.
No, it's true. All right. How does the do I sound at the conclusion of this phone call? Do I sound any better? Are you still having difficulty hearing the dulcet tones of tones?
Yeah, no, you sound exactly the same. I've got my earphones cranked up.
All right, well, we'll all have my
it
people.
Like maybe it's a channel thing, but we can talk to the engineers. Yeah, your listeners don't care.
You're just bluffing. You don't know what that means. A channel thing.
Well, this is like you got maybe I think if, maybe like it's a you know channel one, channel two. I don't know. One of those deals.
Is that like when I go to take my car to get... I had to take my car in this morning to get worked on, and I'm doing that guy thing where the guy goes, what... First of all, I'd like to make this observation, that I took my car, and then I'll let you go because I know you don't really want to sit and hear about my tedious automotive woes. I'm just going to say this. I did the most idiotic, predictable, pig-like male thing this morning. I have my car, and I took my car in to get the brakes worked on today because the brakes... I'm not really an automotive... automotive guy. I don't really know much about cars. Much to my father's unfolding in constant horror and shame, I neither hunt nor fish, nor do I boat, nor do I kayak, nor can I fix anything in my own car. And so there's that squealing sound that your brakes make, and the squealing sound is there because there's like a little part of something that they put that when your brake pad goes, then it gets down to this sort of squealy material, and when you hear your brakes making a squealing sound, that is the indication that it's about time to get them in. That's sort of like the
often a little metal bar,
yeah. Yeah, the brake pads have worn down.
That's like the, but you're only just repeating back what I said. You don't know what I'm saying.
I do.
What you're talking about.
I do.
All right. Well,
I
but
have
it's
just in changing my brake pads.
It's like when you get to that little red strip at the end of the Scotch tape, and you know that it's about time to buy more. So, but the thing is, have you ever gone beyond that? Have you ever gone beyond the little squealy metal the part on your brakes, Sarah?
No, I've changed my own oil, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't change my own oil. You put a gun to my head. You, seriously, if you came and threatened to kneecap me, I couldn't, two hands, a map, I couldn't even find where the oil goes.
Yeah,
in.
It's really very messy.
I got nothing. So, I had heard the squealing of my brakes. I'm like, I got to get that looked at one of these days. But, of course, that is just that's my way of just saying, I'm never going to address this. And so I just completely forgot about it. So my wife and I have been driving the car, and then it goes beyond the metal squeal. And when you go beyond the metal squeal, what you get is this unpleasant metal-on-metal grinding noise.
Yes.
And so, finally, I just decided, like, my wife and I were getting to the point. Here's how bad it was. It was so bad driving home last night that I was actually having to use the emergency brake on the car to stop. Like, I would roll toward, and then you start wondering, you're like, are people on the sidewalk able to hear this? Like, are the other people turning and looking at me and filled with the horror at how badly I treat my car? So I would be rolling towards a red light, reaching down, actually having to pull on the emergency brake to get my car to stop.
Because you didn't want to make the sound.
Because I don't want to make the sound. I don't care about the car or my own safety. I don't care if I die a fiery death. I just don't want some guy standing in the street corner coming out of the food market to look over and go, that guy. Because I know that he would look over and make eye contact with me, and I would look at him and he would look at me, and I would know that he knew that I didn't know anything about cars, and then I would be filled with shame. So I finally take the car in this morning, the brakes, and the brakes were placed, and the guy comes and goes, so what seems to be the problem? And I said, what were the first words out of my mouth, Sarah? Do you know?
I have no clue.
First words out of my mouth this morning. Well, you know, I told my wife to get these. My wife has been driving this car,
no.
And she just drove these brakes right down to the metal, man. I don't know. And I give him
Why would you even say that?
And I give him that shrug.
Right.
And I give him the shrug like, women, what can you do?
You're that desperate to look like a man
totally.
In front of somebody you don't even know?
In front of a guy I don't know who I will never see again after today. And I totally put it right on my wife. I just, without shame, I'm just like, well, my wife, you know how women drivers are. She just drove the death. I told her, but boy, it's what you get for letting them vote, huh? Boy, can't live without them. You know, just high five, and then I left. And that's
shame on you. That's terrible.
That's exactly what I did. So there you go. So there's
pity to you, my friend. Karma.
All right.
Or what it's going to be.
Karma with a C.
Quick break story, a possible prank for anyone out there. One of my best friends in high school did this, and it was fantastic. Actually hooked another one of our friends' brake line to her horn.
That's fantastic.
It was fantastic.
So every time she would hit the brakes, it was...
Single time.
Oh, that's genius.
Little tap. Yeah, it was fantastic.
All right, Lisa Goddard, enjoy the rest of your Washington afternoon. I'm sure we will have speaks with you in the near future. It is always a pleasure. All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. She sounded good. Apparently, she wasn't able to really hear us all that well, but she sounded fantastic today.
She did.
Excellent. Yeah, so that was the thing I was going to note in my matrix about how did Rick's morning go? Poorly. Walk. I've written to myself because I found the place on them. And, of course, I'm such an American because I discovered this problem last night. It sounds like a mortar and a pestle. As I'm trying to drive home, every stoplight just... And then I can hear my brake drums or the rotors or whatever the hell it is just flaking away to nothing. I can hear the grooves being put into them. So I call the guy. I look up. And what do? Because I'm an idiot. Just Yellow Pages. Brakes. You know, call the first guy I find. And, you know, I arranged to take it down this morning. So, yeah. So that was embarrassing. Right? My wife. Yes. What seems to be the problem? Well, I told her to look into it, and she just didn't listen. But then my instant punishment was that I had to walk here from Burnside at, like, 7:30 in the morning. So that was fun.
I basically have to now from the bus because it drops me off literally 15 minutes away. So that's my exercise for now.
Well, see, and you know, we're shamed, and then we got a break. But, you know, we're shamed because Thank you, Scotty. Now, we're shamed because there are people, we work here, like Becca and Court are both this way. They both bicycle. Freaking Court from KUFO, he bicycles year-round. He's never stopped. He has been bicycling to and from work every day. In the rain, except I think for the snow days. I mean, you see every day that bicycle about 3 o'clock. That's Court's. It makes me feel just really inadequate. Listeners aren't demanding to know anything of the sort. My bowling high school. My bowling high score is not all that good. It was only like one. What was my bowling? It was like 140 or 145 or something. But I mean, that was pretty much like. And also, it's because it looks better by comparison too, because everybody else was drunk. That's the thing. This bowling league that I'm in, if you hit 3 spares in a row, you win a glass of beer, and if you hit 3 strikes in a row, you win a pitcher of beer. And I was having a real good night. All kidding aside, I actually was. I was in kind of a groove, and I'm not a bowler. I don't really bowl, but I was having a little bit of good luck. So I actually did at one point. Twice, actually, during the evening, I hit 3 spares in a row. And then I think later on somebody
very
else got
impressive.
Some. So I was winning all of this alcohol for everybody around me, because, of course, I'm not drinking. And so I was winning all of this alcohol for everybody around me, which, that, of course, makes your night just more and more unpleasant, because everyone around me is just getting louder and drunker, and then, like, wanting to. And we were just talking yesterday about hugging. Guy I don't even know. He's on another team. I get a strike. He comes over. Let me, come on! And he gives me the big man. And he's one of those guys that has the ear things where, his earlobes have been stretched out to where they're the size of pie pans. You know what I'm talking about? One of those guys. I don't want to be hugged by that guy. F that guy. I don't wish to be hugged. I swear to God. There was a girl on the team that was bowling next to us last night.
That you thought was hot?
No. Well, that too. It would be inappropriate to talk about that. I'm just going to say, no, there was kind of a cute girl over there. Kind of a, I don't know. My wife referred to her as a beauty school dropout. But she does have this kind of, she had a kind of a weird hairspray. Kind of a thing going on, you know, the movie Hairspray. But there's this girl that was bowling next to us. I swear to God, if you listened really carefully, you could hear her internal organs decaying. I mean, she looked like a zombie. I mean, she was pale, huge bags, looked like the crows had been pecking at her. I mean, it was all terrible. And she would walk by. You know what she looked like? She looked like a dipping bird. You know one of those dipping birds you put in your window and it goes deep, doot. She was like 100 feet tall, weighed about 40 pounds, hair sticking out all crazy, and she looked like a waitress that would drunkenly get your order wrong on a Sunday.
Hot?
No, this is the other girl.
Oh, okay.
No, but this girl, this decaying zombie girl would walk by Aaron and I to go to the bar, because she would go, because every time she'd bowl, she would then finish whatever she was drinking, and she'd go to the bar to get more, and she would walk by us, and it was a smell of like, it was a smell of, like, Cheez-Its and, like, stool. And just sort of a real bad.
Okay. On that note, let's.
Okay. I'm just saying it is part of life's rich pageant. And it's couples bowling, so there's some guy there who finds that hot. Somewhere there was a guy who was like, yeah. Give me the zombie girl with the sickly skin. Anywho. We're back after this. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. We return momentarily.